Okay, today's daf is Yud Tet. We're going to start at the top, a few lines down from the top. Mate lo mate. Okay, so now we're talking about the Kohen Gadol. If a relative of his dies, then there were different opinions about whether he can follow after the corpse, just he has to be a certain distance, or there was an opinion that said that he can't actually leave the mikdash at all. And it all comes from this pasuk, umina mikdash lo yetze. So the first drasha, Tanu Rabbanan, umina mikdash lo yetze, is not allowed to leave the mikdash, the Kohen Gadol, if one of his parents or close relatives dies. Lo yetze imahem, aval yotzeu acharehen. And umina mikdash lo yetze means he can't go out with them, but he can go after them. Meaning, ketzad, and this is how we saw in the Mishnah also, hein nichsim v'hu nigle, hein niglin v'hu nichse. Right, he has to go, if they go down one street, then he can come out and go so that he, as long as he doesn't see. The concern is, again, we want to distance him from the fear that he's going to be metame to the mate. Okay, we want to make sure he keeps his distance. So as long as he doesn't see, it's okay. V'yotze ad petach, right, and then he's allowed to go until the petach ha'ir, because once he goes outside the city, then already he's going to be able to see the body because it's all open field. Shapir ka'amar Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda actually makes a lot more sense because he says, Mina Mikdash Leitze is not allowed to leave the Mikdash, and he can't follow the mate at all. So Amar Lecha Rabbi Meir, who said that he's allowed to, says, Ihachi Lebeito Namilo. If Mina Mikdash Leitze is literal, then it means not only can he not leave the Mikdash to go follow the dead body, but he's not allowed to leave the Mikdash even to go home. So that's obviously not what it means. So Elahachi Kamra, so how does Rabbi Meir, this is going back to the first opinion we saw, how does he explain it? Umina Mikdash lo yetze, mikdushato lo yetze, v'chema de'id lehekera lo ate leminga. So he says, mate lo mate, I just want to look back at the Mishnah and get the opinion straight for a minute. Mate lo mate, eno yetze achar mita. Right, that was Rabbi Meir. So he says, Mina Mikdash lo yetze, mikdushato lo yetze. And then, according to this opinion, according to Rabbi Meir, Mikdash lo yetze means don't leave your realm of Kiddusha, don't be metame, and as long as you keep your distance, you're not going to touch it. But then Rabbi Yehuda, what about him? Agav mirare dilma mikre va'ate naga. Rabbi Yehuda just doesn't trust the Kohen Gadol. He's saying because if you let him go at a distance, like Rabbi Meir suggests, what's going to happen? You might actually really figure out a way to go get close to the dead body anyway. Okay, now we're going to get into dinim of menachem avelim, particularly the shura that we talked about in the Mishnah. Kishu menachem. So Tanu Rabbanan. Kishu over b'shura lenachem et acherim. So the way it used to work was that there was a shura of people that would go pass by the avel and give their tanchumim, the opposite of what we do nowadays where there's two shurot of people and the avelim walk in between. So Keshuva Ver B'Shura L'Nachem Et Acherim, Skan U'Meshuach She'Avar B'Yimino. So the Skan and the Kohen, the Skan Kohen Gadol, the deputy Kohen Gadol, and the Kohen Gadol, who was the Kohen Gadol before him, will both go on his right side. V'Rosh Beit Av V'Avelim V'Chol Am Mismolo. And the Rosh Beit Av, the head of the person who's the head of the Kohanim family, and the Avelim and everybody else are on his left. When he's standing in the Shura and other people come to be Menachem Oto, Skam Yimino V'Rosh Beit Av V'Chol Ha'am Mismolo. So his Skan is on Yimin, okay, which is the same as was before, except the Meshuach is not here. Okay, we'll talk about this soon. And the Rosh Beit Av and everyone else is on his left. Aval Meshuach Shavar Lo Ate Gabe, my time. So why doesn't the Meshuach come? This is Linachamo, Chal Shadate, because we're worried that the Kohen Gadol will get upset and think, oh, Dafka the Mashuach is happy that I'm, because he's jealous of me, that I'm now the Kohen Gadol, and therefore, because he used to be the Kohen Gadol, he's no longer the Kohen Gadol, and therefore, he might be happy that, in other words, the Kohen himself will say, the Kohen Gadol, who's now the Kohen Gadol, will say, oh, maybe he's so happy that I'm upset now, that I'm in a bad way. Savar kachadibi, right? Chal shadate, he'll become weaker because he'll say the other guy is happy for me. Amra papa, shma mina mehamet nita tla. From this bright, we can learn three things. Shma mina, hainu skan, hainu mimune. Our Mishnah called him the mimune, and the bright called him the skan. So we say when they talk about the mimune of the Kohen Gadol, it means the skan. Ushmamina avelim umdim v'chol ha'am ovrim. How does the shura work that the avelim stand and everybody passes, as opposed to the way we do it nowadays? You'll see that even then also they did it the other way, but right now they're trying to point out this is the way the minhag was. Ushmamina avelim l'smol v'hamenachamim hem umdim. Okay, the avelim stand on the left, and the menachamim of the menachamim. Sorry, l'smol ha'menachamim hem umdim. I read it wrong. The avelim stand to the left of those who come to be menachim. Tana Rabbanan, another brayta. Barishona hayu avelim umdim v'chol ha'am ovrim. In the beginning, that's how they did it, the way we've described now. V'ayu shtei mishpachot b'Yerushalayim mitgarot zo b'zo. Zot omeret ani overet tchila, v'zot omeret ani overet tchila. They were fighting over who was going to be in the head of the line to go be menachem. So it's kinu she'am umdim, that everybody just stand wherever they are, v'avelim ovrim. And that way it's not like when you have these two shurot, nobody fights over who's the first in the shura, because the shurot are stationary. It's the avelim who move, and that avoided the problem. Okay, this is Siman Chazar v'halach v'siper. Amar Rami bar Abba. Hechzir Rabbi Yosef et ha-davar liyoshno b'tzipori. Okay, in Tzipori, Rabbi Yosef put it back to the way it was originally. Okay, I guess he wasn't worried about people fighting over it. Shiu avelim omdim v'chol ha'am ovrim. Okay, that makes more sense that the avelim should stand and everybody passes through. Since we talked about Rabbi Yosef returning things to the way they were, or making some sort of takana, now we're going to have a bunch of other statements. Amar Rami bar Abba. Hitkim Rabbi Yosi b'tzipori shelo tei isha mahalechet b'shuk ubena achareha mishum ma'aseh shaya. Okay, they were metakein that, he was metakein that a woman shouldn't go in the shuk with her son behind her because of a ma'aseh shaya. Okay, you have to look in Rashi to see this ma'aseh shaya. Rashi says, sheganvuhu pritzim me'achareha. Okay, this is like people say, don't put your bag behind your back because people will pickpocket you. Here, don't put your son behind you because these people grabbed the son. Unitanuhu babayit, and then they kidnapped him, put him in their house. Ukishechazra v'lo ra'atau, hitchilat zo'eket u'bocha. So one of the, right, she starts crying. So one of the kidnappers, ba'achat mehem, v'amar bo'i ver'enulach, I'll go show you where your son is. You want to see? Come after me. So obviously she followed, and they raped her. So since then, he said, your child can't walk behind you in the shuk. Okay, this is another one of those indications that the rabbis didn't only discuss halachic things, but other matters. Amar Rami bar Abba, hitkim Rabbi Yossi b'tzipori, another one, shiu nashim misaprot bebeit hakisei mishum yichud. Okay, women should talk in the bathroom. There's dafka an issue that people say you shouldn't talk in the bathroom. It's not mechubad. But dafka women should speak in the bathroom. And often they talk about specifically that with the mefreshim to say, or the halacha says that we're really talking about bathrooms that are outhouses outside the city. Inside the city, we're not worried. We're worried more about when they're out in the middle of nowhere, the way they had these outhouses. That if women go to the bathroom, they should talk to each other so that another man won't accidentally come in. And and the conversation will kind of shoo him away, and that he won't come to do yichud with the women. Okay, whether that would really prevent him or not, I'm not sure. Amar Rav Menashe bar Ut, she'ilei did Rabbi Yoshi Araba bebeit almin dehutzal v'amar li. Okay, I asked Rabbi Yoshi Araba in the cemetery of Hutzal, and he said to me this halacha: Ein shura pchuta me'asara b'nei adam. Okay, you need a minimum of 10 people to do a shura. Vein avelim in haminyan, the avelim don't count. Bein shavelim omdim v'chol ha'am ovrim. Bein shavelim omrim v'chol ha'am omdim. So we saw before that they changed the minhag. Then we saw that Rabbi Yossi changed it back. Here we see that both are possibilities. People can do whichever one they want. Keshehu mitnachem. Okay, then it taught that when he's mitnachem, the people should say anu kaparatcha. I think it says Anu kaparatcha, and he should say to them, Titbrachu min ha-shamayim. Ibai lehu. So now they ask, Ki menachem hu achrine hechi amar lehu. What should he say to others? Tashma, v'hu omer titnachamu. There's a source that says that he should say, the Kohen Gadol, titnachamu. So now they say, we don't know which situation this must be, right? Hechi dami. I lema ki menachemu achrine lididei. Amar le iu titnachamu. Nachsha karami lehu. It doesn't make sense to say that titnachamu is what he should say to them when they're menachem oto, because then it sounds like he's saying, well, you'll have your own day one day, well, you'll be, right? Almost like he's bringing the bad upon them. Ela ki menachem la'achrine amar lehu titnechamu. It must be when he's menachem others, shma mina. And therefore we have our answer to our question. It must be that when he is menachem others, even though it doesn't say so in the Mishnah, the Braita says it's titnechamu. Now we're moving on to the king. That ends the section on the Kohen Gadol. Melech lo dan, v'lo dan yimoto. Amar Rav Yosef, lo shanu ela malchei Yisrael. Aval malchei Beit David, dan v'danin otan. Dichtiv, Beit David, ko amar Hashem, dinu laboker mishpat. V'lo daninan le, inu hechi dayine. V'aktiv et koshishu v'koshu, v'amur ish lakish, kashet atzmacha, v'achar kach kashet achimim. So, I read all the whole thing just so we could get the whole section, which is, the Mishnah is obviously only referring to Malchut Beit Yisrael and not Malchut Beit David, because we know that David, it said, Beit David should dinu laboker mishpat, should go in the morning to judgment and judge people. And we saw this before, that based on this pasuk, it koshu vakoshu, that first you have to take care of first you have to decorate yourself and then you can decorate others. Likewise, you can't judge others unless you can be judged yourself. And therefore, it must be, if Malchut Beit David were dan, they also must have been danimoto. So therefore, we have the Melech lo dan v'lo danimoto could only be Malchut Yisrael. Malchei Yisrael. So, Ela Malchei Yisrael, my time alo. Mishum ma'aseh shaya. Now we're going to have another ma'aseh shaya. We're learning a lot from interesting ma'asim. Like I would say, almost extreme ma'asim. De'avde de'yanai malka. We've seen this Yanai Melech and Shimon ben Shetach. If you remember their relationship, Shimon ben Shetach was married to Yanai's sister. So he was his brother-in-law. So now, but they didn't always get along so well. The Avadim of Yanai HaMelech killed somebody, Ketal Nafsha, he killed someone. Amar Lu Shimon Ben Shetach L'Chachamim, Tnui Nechem Bo, Unidunenu. Okay, he killed a person, so put your eyes on him and let's judge him. Shalchu Le, so they sent to Yanai, Avda Ketal Nafsha, your Eved killed someone, Shadre Lehu. So they sent word to him, one second, Shadre Lehu, Shadri Lahu means he sent the slave to them. Okay, so they said your slave killed someone, so he sent the slave to be judged. Shalchule, they said, wait a minute, that's not enough. Ta'a nami lahacha. Why? You also have to come here. Why? V'hu abe ba'alav amra Torah. Yavo ba'al ashor v'yamor al shoro. This is your eved, he belongs to you. If he killed someone, you're responsible for it. So you have to come and be judged also. You can see that this is not going to have an easy ending. See if you can guess where this is going. Ataviyativ, he came and sat in the judgment. Amar Shimon ben Shetach, Yanai HaMelech, Amona raglecha v'ya'idu b'cha. Yanai HaMelech, stand up and witnesses will come testify against you. V'lo lefanenu ataomeh, but just make sure you realize you're not standing before us, like we saw in Tapim earlier in the Masechet. Ela lefnei mishamar v'haya ha'olam ataomeh. You're standing before God, sh'neemar, v'amdu shnei anashim asher lehem arif. B'chulei. The end of the pasuk is the important part, which is they stood lifnei Hashem. Obviously, they don't stand lifnei Hashem, but you're supposed to feel as if you're before God. Amar lo, lokish etomar ata, ela kemoshi yomu chaverecha. So Yanai says to Shimon ben Shetach, his brother-in-law, I'm not listening to you. I'll listen according to what everyone in the court says, not just enough that you say it, because what did Yanai know? He knew that Shimon ben Shetach was willing to stand up to him, but the rest of the people were not going to stand up to the king. So what happened? Nifneli mino, kavshu pneham bakarka. Nifneli smono, lismolo, v'kavshu pneham bakarka. Shimon ben Shetach looks around at all the chachamim that are with him, and everybody buries themselves, their faces to the ground, and says nothing. Okay, so he's left by himself, and Yanai HaMelech basically wins out here. So Amar lan Shimon ben Shetach, ba'ale machshavot atem. Okay, yavo ba'al machshavot v'yipara mechem. Okay, saying, you guys are all, and you're caught up in your own thoughts and not saying anything. You're ba'alei machshavot, because you're not acting, you're just thinking. Come, should come upon you the ba'al machshavot, which is obviously God, and should yipara mikem, and basically should punish you. Mia ba Gavriel v'chavatam bakar kavametu. Immediately Gavriel came, struck all the people into the ground. You know, there was midah kineged midah. They buried their heads in the ground, and they all died. Botasha amru, this is a dangerous business. Melech lo dan v'lo danimoto, lo me'id v'lo me'idinoto. Okay, moving on to chalitza. Lo choletz v'lo chotzin. So the king can't do chalitza, and he can't do chalitza with his brother's wife, and lo chotzin to his brother doesn't perform chalitza with his wife. So now they say, Imi, is this really true? V'ha'amar Rav Ashi, afilu l'man d'amar nasisha machala kvodok. Oh, sorry, I didn't tell you the rest. The rest of the Mishnah is the important part. So it says there, Rabbi Yehuda amar, im ratza lachlot oli abeim zachur latov. Okay, Rabbi Yehuda says, but if he wants to do chalitza or yibum with his brother's wife, he's recognized for good. It's a good thing. And Amru lo, the Chachamim said, ein shomin lo. No, if the king wants to do this, he can't. So this is obviously going to relate to an issue. Is the melech allowed to be mochal on his kavod to do this? So they say against Rabbi Yehuda, how could Rabbi Yehuda say that he could do chalitza? V'ha amar rava or yibum. Even the one who says that an asi is allowed to be mochal in his own kavod, melech shemachal kvodo ain't kvodo machul shenemar. A melech is not allowed to be mochal in his kavod. Why? Because it says som tasim alecha melech shetehe emato alecha. He's supposed to instill fear in people, and if he's going to instill fear, then he has to keep a certain level of distance, and then that would mean that he's not allowed to be mochal in his kavod. So what does the Gemara answer? Mitzvah shane. A mitzvah is different. And why would a mitzvah be different? So, first of all, it would seem that we always have this issue of the king has to refer to the melech machay amlachim. So when it comes to a mitzvah, you can see that a mitzvah might override even the king. And it could be also, another explanation, 1 minute, is that right, that maybe a king can't waive his honor for the sake of a mitzvah. 1 second. Right, he can't. This is a mitzvah he can't carry out alone. So therefore, he might not be. Since it involves other people, therefore he might be allowed to be mochel his kavod here. Okay. Ve'ein nosim. No one can marry the king's widow. Tanya. Amru lo l'Rabbi Yehuda. Nashim haru yot lo mibeit hamelech. Umay ninhu. Merav u'michal. So now we see that they say no one can marry the king's widow, but Rabbi Yehuda says that another king can actually marry the king's widow. So there's a machloket in the Mishnah. Tanakhama says no one can marry the king's widow. And Rabbi Yehuda says, you can see that Rabbi Yehuda keeps siding on these exceptions to the rule for the king. He actually can do certain things. So here we see that another king can marry, and he proves it from David. Because it said, the Pasuk said, quoted in the Mishnah, Ve'etzna lecha et beit adonecha ve'et neshe adonecha b'chekecha. Okay, so here it shows that he can have the nashim of Shaul. He's going to marry them. So now what does Rabbi Yehuda say? What does Tanakhama say? Who doesn't agree with this? Amru lo l'Rabbi Yehuda, and the Braitet says, these nashim referred to in that pasuk is nashim haruuyot lo mibeit hamelech. It's not the nashim that he was married to. It's nashim that are ruuyot for him to marry, for David to marry from the king's house. And who are these? Merav u'michal, the two daughters of the king. And now we're going to get to the whole issue of Merav and Michal and what exactly happened. Did he marry them both? How did he marry them both? Aren't they sisters? So we're going to start with this. Shalu Talmidav, it's going to be a bit of a lesson in Tanakh, in Navi. Shalu Talmidav, Rabbi Yossi. He'ach nasa David shtei achayot b'chayehen. The halacha is that you're not allowed to marry two sisters. If you married one sister and you divorced her, you're not allowed to marry her sister as long as she's still alive. Once she dies, you're allowed to. So the first answer given is, Amar lehem michal achar mitat meirav nisa. Okay, according to Rabbi Yossi, he said, he married Michal after Meirav already died. Rabbi Yoshua ben Korcha omer, kidushei ta'ut hayu lo b'meirav. He never actually married Meirav. It was kidushei ta'ut. Shenemar. How are we going to say it's kidushei ta'ut? So, Tina et ishti et michal, asher erasti li b'me'er orlot plishtim. Okay, so now we're going to say that David says to Shaul, son, Ishboshet, he says, give me et ishti et michal. So from here you see that Michal was his wife, he was betrothed to with these 100 orlot plishtim. So now they're going to say, my Talmuda, that's why they're going to say Michal is clearly his wife. Okay, how did they darshan this? Amara Papa, Michal ishti velo meirav ishti. That's why he said, the wording, if you look at it carefully, it says, et ishti et Michal. It could have just said, et ishti Michal. So he's trying to say, Michal is my wife and meirav is not my wife. So now, my kidushetau, what was the mistake? Dichtiv, v'haya ha'ish asher yakenu, This is by Goliath. Right? Goliath was there, and David. Right? Shaul said, whoever, Hayah Isha Asher Yakenu, the person who hits, who succeeds in killing Goliath, Ya'ashirenu HaMelech Osher Gadol. Okay, and then he says, and not only that, it says also, he will give him his daughter. Okay, full pasuk, right? It says, sorry, I can't find the pasuk. Okay, anyway, the rest of the pasuk says, and he will give him his daughter. So he's going to get Osher and the daughter. Azal Katle, so David goes and kills Goliath. Amar lo, milve itlach gabai. So what does Shaul say to him? It's, Shaul says, you have a loan, right? I owe you money because I promised I'd give you Osher Gadol. Pamakadesh b'milve eina mekudeshet. And the assumption is that David was mekadesh, the wife, with... there's the pasuk. Okay, thanks. Okay, the pasuk is Vayomer Ish Yisrael Haraitim Ish Haole Hazeh Ki Lecharef Et Yisrael Ole Vahaya Ish Asher Yakenu Yashrenu Hamelech Osher Gadol Ve'et Bito Yitein Lo. Okay, there's the pasuk. Ve'et Beit Aviv Yaseh Chofshi B'Yisrael. So what happens? Shaul says, well, you betrothed her with the money that I owed you. In other words, what happened? David, instead of giving money to, normally you betroth someone with money, he said, well, instead of paying me all the money, the Osher Gadol, I'll betroth her with that money. And that's called Mekadesh B'Milveh. And we learned this already, that a Mekadesh B'Milveh ain't a Mekudeshet. It doesn't work. So therefore, the betrothal of Merav never happened. So what did Shaul do? Since Shaul said this was all a ta'ut, Azo Yahweh L'Adriel, and that's why she ends up marrying, Shaul gives her to Adriel. D'chtiv, V'yibei teit meirav bat Shaul l'David. Right, then it says, V'hi nitna l'Adriel ha'mecholati l'isha. Okay, so when David went to go marry her, she, turns out she was already given to Adriel, and that's why he gave her to Adriel, because the whole Kiddushim was never valid to begin with. Amar lei, so what did Shaul say to him? I'll give you Michal instead. Zil aiteli mea orlot plishtim. So azal aitele. So he goes and brings the mea orlot plishtim. And what does Shaul say? It's still not a valid kiddushin. Why? Because the assumption is that, again, David was using the loan that he owed him. And he brought these mea orlot plishtim. So amale milva upruta itlach gabai. So Shaul says to him, well, your betrothed are based on the loan and a pruta. Now, normally you can be Mekadesh with a pruta, but if you're Mekadesh with both a loan and say, I'm just not going to pay you back the money, and with that, right, so no money actually passes on to the woman physically at that moment. So that's why the Kiddushin isn't good. But what if you do a milva and a pruta? So Shaul savar milva upruta da'ate a milva. V'David savar milva upruta da'ate a pruta. There was a machlokah between Shaul and David. Shaul said this marriage isn't good also, because if you betroth someone with both a milva and a pruta, the assumption is that your mind is really on the milva and not on the pruta, because the milva is probably worth more than the pruta is, and therefore the betrothal is not valid at all because it was really focused on the milva. And David said, no, just because it had the milva involved, it was also on the pruta, and therefore my mind was focused on the pruta and the betrothal was valid. That's one way of understanding it. V'ibayit ema. Other people say, "Dekule alma milva upruta datei pruta." Everybody agrees that if you're doing a milva upruta, obviously your intent is on the pruta because the milva doesn't work. So maybe the difference between Shaul and David was Shaul savar lo chazu v'lo midi. What were these mea or lo plishtim? Are they worth anything? All these mea or lo plishtim aren't worth anything. What are you going to do with orlot of plishtim, the foreskins of the plishtim? It doesn't make any, right? It's not worth anything. B'David savar chazu lekalbe b'shunrei. You could send it to the dogs and the cats for them to eat, and therefore they're worth a pruta. So it was a matter of, are these valued at anything, or is it a matter of a milva pruta, what's your dot on? Now, going back to Rabbi Yossi, what did Rabbi Yossi say? Rabbi Yossi said that he was actually married to both of them. It was just one died before the other. So Rabbi Yossi, haitna et ishti et michal mai darish be. So what does he do with this et ishti et michal, where we assume that et ishti et michal means only michal is my wife, meirav is never my wife. Mai darish be. Rabbi Yossi l'tame de tanya, Rabbi Yossi haya doresh Mikraot Me'uravim. So they say he goes to Shitato that he would figure out the meaning of psukim based on psukim that seemed contradictory. So let's read the psukim. K'tiv. Vayikach ha-melech et shnei b'nei ritzpah bat ayah, sheyodah la-Shaul, et Armoni ve-et Mephiboshet, ve-et chameshet b'nei Michal, sheyodah la-Adriel ha-mecholati. Let's see how well you're paying attention. Who married Adriel? It's confusing. Merav, Michal, okay. Merav married Adriel, not Michal. So why does the pasuk here say, okay, this is a Tosefta, by the way, the pasuk quotes, it says, it's a pasuk in Shmuel Bet, it quotes, v'chameshet b'nei Michal, yaldah la-Adriel ha-mecholati. Bechila Adriel Netana. She didn't marry Adriel. What happened to Michal? Right? Shaul thought it wasn't a good marriage. He married off Michal to Palti ben Laish. Although Palti ben Laish Netana. He sent her off to Palti ben Laish. Dechtiv, b'Shaul Netana Michal bito eshet David lePalti ben Laish v'chule. Okay, so what's the problem here? Ela mekish kidushe merav laAdriel lekidushe Michal lePalti. Ma kidushe Michal lePalti ba'avera. He understands that they're trying to teach you by connecting Michal to Adriel to say that Michal's marriage to Palti, which was clearly Ba'avera, because Michal was married to David, whereas we said earlier maybe Merav wasn't, but now we're going to say, no, Merav was also married to David, and when Shaul gave her to Adriel, that was Ba'avera, okay, because she was already married to someone else. So there's two approaches here as to whether Merav was actually married to David, or the Kiddushin was never a good Kiddushin and she was never really married to David. Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha nami haktiv, so now still where you have to explain according to Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha, et chameshet b'nei Michal bat Shaul. So Asher, right, that to Adriel. So how does he explain it? If it's not to make this hakesh, to show that both of them were ba'avera. Amar lecha Rabbi Yeshua, b'chi Michal yalda, halo merav yalda. Merav yalda u'michal gidla, and this is famous, and we're going to see a bunch of the places where it's quoted, that lefichach nikru al shma lelamed shekol megadel yatom betoch beito ma'ale alav ha-katuv ki'ilu yilado. This fits exactly with his shita, because according to him, Merav died before Michal married David, so then Michal brought up Merav's children, and they were called in her name as if she was the mother because she raised them. So, now we're going to see a bunch of cases about this. Rabbi Chanina Omer Mehacha, we can learn the same thing from a different pasuk. Vatikrena lo ashchenot shem lemor yula ben leNaomi. In the Sipur of Ruth, it says, right, that a ben was born to Naomi. Bechi Naomi yilada v'alo Rut yilada, it was Rut's son. Ela Rut yilada v'Naomi gidla. Lefichach nikra al shma. Okay, so she got the credit for it. Rabbi Yochanan Omer Mehacha, v'ishto ha-Yehudiya yilda et Yered Avigdor. Okay, this is a strange pasuk in Divrei Hayamim. Okay, it says like this: Ishto Yehudia yaldad Yered Avigdor ve'et Chever Avi Socho ve'et Yekutiel Avi Znoach ve'ele b'nei bitya bat Paro asher lakach Mared. Okay, these are the sons of the bitya, the daughter of Paro, who we know from the Moshe story. Okay, and it says that Mered married her. So they say Mered Zekalev, v'lama nikro shemo Mered, shemarad ba'atzat miraglim. Okay, they say because he rebelled against the miraglim. V'chi bit yelada. Now the Gemara in Megillah connects all these people and says they're all references to Moshe Rabbeinu. So now they say, how could it be that Bitya bore Moshe? V'alo yocheved yelada. Ela yocheved yelada u'bitya gidla. Lefichach nikra shma. Okay, so she gets the credit because she raised Moshe. Rabbi Elazar Amar Mehacha, Ga'alta Bizroa Amecha, B'nei Yaakov V'Yosef Sela. So we talk about the sons of Yaakov and Yosef, which is really the 12 Shvatim. So V'chi Yosef Yalad, V'alo Yaakov Yalad. Ela Yaakov Yalad. Now here we're not going to have right in terms of raising, but what does it mean raising? Financial. Yosef Kilkel. He gave his brothers, he sustained them financially. Lefichach Nikru Ashmo. Amar Bishmol Bar Nachmani, Amar B'Yonatan, Kol HaMelameh Ben Chavero Torah, as we all know from the Torah here, from the famous Pasuk, Rashi quotes it there, Ma'aleh Alav HaKatuv Ki'ilu Yilado, Sheneemar Ve'ele Toldot Aharon U'Moshe, and then it lists Aharon's sons, U'Ktiv Ve'ele Shmot B'nei Aharon, Lomar Lecha Aharon Yalad U'Moshe Limed, L'Fichach Nikru Al Shmo, Moshe got the credit for teaching our own sons Torah. So now we see both raising the children, financially supporting the children, and teaching them Torah all gives you the status as if you're the parent. Maybe it's also teaching you about what a responsibility of a parent is toward his children, towards his or her children. Lachen, komar Hashem al Beit Yaakov, asher padat Avraham. Now they quote another pasuk that's going to go in this context. And here it's a strange pasuk. How could Beit Yaakov be podet Avraham? B'chihecha matzinu b'Yaakov shepda'o l'Avraham. Amar of Yehuda, shepda'o mitzar gidul banim. Here's a very interesting thing. According to this, Avraham was supposed to have had the 12 tribes. But Yaakov had them instead, and as a result, he saved Avraham from tzar gidul banim, having 12 children, right? Anyone can imagine having 12 children would create a lot of trouble in the house, right? Not an easy thing to do. V'hainu dichtiv lo ata yevosh Yaakov, lo ata yevosh Yaakov me'aviv, v'lo ata panav yechavaru me'avi aviv. He won't be ashamed before his father and not before his father's father because he took the role that they should have had. Okay? Interestingly, Tosfot questions and says, what do you mean, gidul banim is tzar? Right? Eino tzar, ela simcha, as it says in Brachot, and he quotes the Gemara there. So what does he say? It must be not tzar gidul banim. Not all children are so difficult to raise, but dafka Yaakov's children and the tzaras that he went through, that he saved Avram from having. Ktiv Palti, uktiv Palti El. Okay, so Palti is called Palti Ben Laish, also is called Palti El Ben Laish. Amar Rabbi Yochanan Palti Shmo, v'lama nekro Shmo Palti El, shepalto El mina Avera, that God saved him from the Avera. Ma'asa, na'atz cherev beino lebeinan. That's what happened. Palti Ben Laish was married off to Michal, but Michal was actually married to David, so he wasn't allowed to be with her. So what happens here? We're saying that God saved him from the Avera. How did he save him from Avera? Na'at cherev beino lebeina, amar kol osek b'davar zeh, yidaker b'cherev zeh. He put a sword in between and said, anyone who, if I come to sleep with my wife, I will get stabbed. V'haktiv v'yelech ita isha. But doesn't it say her husband went with her? Okay, now you have to understand these psukim before we go on. We'll read the psukim inside. Okay, these psukim are from Shmuel Bet Pasukim, Perakimel Pasuk Tevav. It starts in right. Let's start with pasuk Yudalev. Vayishlach David Malachim al Ishboshe ben Shaul lemor tnai tishchi et Michal asher irasta li b'mea or lo plishtim. That's the pasuk we saw. Vayishlach Ishboshe v'yikachem im ish me'im Paltiel ben Laish. So they take her from Paltiel ben Laish, and then vayelach ita isha. Her husband goes with her haloch uvacho achareha. He goes crying after her because she was taken away ad Bachurim, until the place called Bachurim. Okay, and we won't read after that. Not as relevant. So now what happens? So now it says her husband. Wasn't he her husband? Didn't we just say he wasn't her husband? Shenasala ki'isha. They lived together as if they were husband and wife again. They didn't sleep together, but he loved her as if he was her husband. Ba'aktiv halochu b'cho. He was crying about her. What was he crying about? Ba'ala mitzvah da'azomine. Okay, he was crying because of the mitzvah that he didn't get to do, the mitzvah of sleeping with his wife. The mitzvah, right, according to this, it's the mitzvah, he was getting rewarded for not giving in to his temptation to sleep with her. So now he wouldn't have that opportunity anymore. Ad bachurim, what about that? What does that mean? Shenasu shnehem ke bachurim shelo ta'amu ta'am biya. Okay, that both of them... they were people who neither of them actually slept with each other. Okay. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. So now that we've said that Palti ben Laish restrained himself, we're now going to talk about how great his restraint was compared to others who restrained themselves in similar situations. And they're going to compare Yosef with Isha Potiphar, Boaz with Ruth when she comes and sleeps at his feet, and Palti ben Laish, who basically was living with Michal but not having sexual relations with her. So Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Tokfo shel Yosef, and vatnuto shel Boaz. For all of Yosef's power, the humility of Boaz was even greater. In other words, that was nothing for Boaz. Tokfo shel Boaz, his strength was andvatnuto shel Palti ben Laish, was nothing for as compared to what Palti ben Laish did. Tokfo shel Yosef and vatnuto shel Boaz. Why was Yosef even less than Boaz? Dichtiv, or why was Boaz so much greater? Vayhi b'chatzi alayla ve'cherada ish vayilafet. What does it mean, vayilafet? So they say his body became like the heads of turnips, meaning he was aroused by her, where you don't see that by Yosef. Amar Rav Shenasa B'Sarok Yerashay L'Fatot. Tokfo Shal Boaz Am Vatanuto Shal Palti Ben Laish Kid Amaran. We see, because Palti Ben Laish lived with her day in, day out. It's not the same. Boaz had one night with Ruth, but Palti Ben Laish was every day living with her and yet didn't sleep with her. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, my dichtiv rabot banot asuchayel va'at alit al kulana, another reference to the same thing. Rabot banot asuchayel ze Yosef u'Boaz. They're great. Va'at alit al kulana ze Palti ben Laish. He's even greater. Amar Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachman, Amar Rabbi Yonatan, my dichtiv sheker achen behevel ayofi. Here's the same way of reading it, except that sheker achen in hevel ayofi is a much more negative, right? Rabot banot asuchayel means you're great, but he was even greater. Atalit al kulana. But here now, it's a reference. Interesting, by the way, they're referencing all these sexual things in reference to feminine description in Eshechayim. So Sheker Achen veHevel Hayofi, Sheker Achen ze Yosef. It looked good, but it was deceitful. The Hevel Hayofi and beauty is just vain. That's Boaz. In other words, it was okay what they did. But Yirat Hashem hititalal ze Palti ben Laish. Now they're going to darshan the same pasuk in two other totally different contexts. Davar acher sheker achen ze doro shel Moshe, vehevel hayofi ze doro shel Yoshua. Okay, they were okay, those people. But yirat Hashem hitadala ze doro shel Chizkiyahu. Why was Chizkiyahu? Because people studied Torah. Now here they're referring to how people learned Torah. They studied Torah even though there was suffering caused by war and enemies and Chizkiyahu. There were a lot of milchamot, and yet they continued to study Torah. And now we're going to say the same thing, except for a different. Davar acher sheker achen ze doro shel Moshe v'Yoshua, hevel hayofi ze doro shel Chizkiyahu. Okay, we're going to now put him in the first category. Yirat Hashem hi titalal ze doro shel Rabbi Yehuda v'Rabbi Eli. What was so unique about his generation? Amru alav of Rabbi Yehuda v'Rabbi Eli, which means his generation. They were so poor, and yet despite the fact that they were so poor, they still learned Torah.